everyone. It's nice to see you all here. Special welcome to our guests. Thank you for being here. And why don't I pray as we come to reflect on God's word. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness in establishing this church and this outpost of your gospel for so many years. We pray that as we reflect on your word, that your spirit would give us insight and we would grow in our appreciation of who we need to be and what you've done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, can I just start by saying that I have loved Parramatta ever since I was a boy. When our family moved here from Randwick to Ermington when I was three. And I've loved Parramatta because Parramatta, when you think about it, really is the heart of the West, isn't it? All roads in the West lead to Parramatta. And I have so many fond memories of Parramatta growing up. I remember how exciting it was when the Westfield opened. Oh, so exciting. The biggest shopping centre in the whole of Australia. So exciting. And I remember seeing Star Wars at the Roxy in 1977 and going to Village with my school friends many years later to go and see Blade Runner. All right? Okay. And it's also in the 70s when I became a fan of the mighty Parramatta Eels. I don't know if you know this, my dad was working with the Water Board and he worked with Neville Glover, who was the winger for the Eels, and it was through Neville Glover I got my first pair of footy boots. Parramatta has a special place in my heart. And Parramatta also has a special place in the heart of St. John's. I mean, after all, 220 years is a very long time for St. John's to be here at the heart of Parramatta. Not only as a place for Christians to gather, but as an expression of God's love for the people of this city. Because a relationship with Jesus not only transforms your life and your future, but it also changes the way that you look at those around you. And it opens your eyes to see the inherent value and dignity of every human person. Every human person, despite all our differences, made in the image of God. And this is why St. John's, in partnership with Anglicare, has served Parramatta for many, 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 many years through providing English as a second language, through services for youth, support for refugees, support for mental health, family relationship and financial counselling, on top of feeding God's people with God's word and sharing the good news of Jesus. St. John's has always sought to be a blessing to the people of Parramatta, and I expect it to be a blessing for the next 220 years, unless the Lord returns first. And why do I say that? What gives me the confidence and the boldness to say that that will be the case? It's all because of what we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's account of the life of Jesus. And for those of you who have Bibles, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, you'll see that Matthew starts off by telling us this. Matthew says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And for those of us who are familiar with the Bible, it's kind of a bit, oh yeah, that's just what Jesus did. But can you imagine someone doing that today? Just imagine someone doing that, going up and down Church Street, doing the stuff that Jesus did. I mean, it'd be front page news. People would be flocking from everywhere. He'd be a social media sensation. It'd be all over TikTok, right? I mean, if Jesus came and did that right now. It was spectacular. Extraordinary, the things that Jesus was doing. But in the Gospel of Matthew, this was more of the same. Matthew says exactly the same thing back in chapter 4, verse 23, right at the very beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. So what Jesus was doing here was nothing new. But we're told something new in the very next verse, because while Matthew has been showing us what Jesus has been doing, Matthew now moves on to tell us why. And in verse 36, you'll see that Matthew writes that when Jesus saw the crowds that were following him, you can imagine the crowds following Jesus doing the stuff he was doing, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And it's worth noting that the word compassion here, it doesn't mean just feeling sorry for someone. The word literally means to be moved in one's guts. Okay? Compassion is a deep, visceral reaction. And we all know that what that's like, don't we? We've all experienced that type of compassion. It's like when we see a child in distress. You know, we feel that, don't we? Or we see animals being mistreated. Or we see people suffering from injustice. Or we witness another tragedy or disaster. We all know what it's like to be so moved in our hearts that we feel compelled to do something to alleviate these people's situation. That is compassion. It doesn't just happen up here. It comes from the heart. And that's what Jesus has for the crowds around him. He has compassion. And why does he have this compassion? Matthew says it's because these people were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And can I just say, to be a sheep without a shepherd sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Who doesn't want to be a sheep without a shepherd? Go where you want, eat what you want, sleep when you want, party when you want. Sounds fantastic to be a sheep without a shepherd. But let me tell you about Chris the sheep. And I have a picture of Chris for you, I hope. Do I have a picture? Oh, there he is. There is Chris the sheep. That's a before and after shot, by the way. Now, what can you tell about Chris the sheep? Chris is a name. What does that mean? It means that Chris is famous. Chris is a famous sheep. And why is he famous? He's famous for being a sheep without a shepherd. Right? So what's the story of Chris? Chris was discovered wandering around the back blocks of Canberra. And why is he famous? He's famous for having the world's heaviest fleece. All right, interaction time. Any guesses how heavy the fleece was?
25 kilos.
25 kilos higher. 50, lower than 50. 41. 41 kilo fleece. All right? That's Chris the sheep. And, you know, think about it. Isn't it good to have a name as a sheep and have all had years of freedom than be in the Guinness Book of Records? It's fantastic. But here is the problem for Chris the sheep. Chris died young because Chris's life was shortened by carrying all that wool because breeds like Chris need to be shorn regularly. Okay, you can take Chris off the screen now. All right. In other words, what am I saying? Chris, the sheep, needed a shepherd. And without a shepherd, he was harassed and helpless, and it cost him his life. And in a way, that's true as well for the people around us. The people around us need Jesus. They need their shepherd. And while the needs of those around us are more obvious for some, among the 256,000 people who live in Parramatta, I mean, like the 50%, who were born overseas. I mean, I can say as a migrant kid, it's very difficult to settle as a family into a new country. Then there's the 30% in Parramatta who have long-term illnesses, and the 5% in Parramatta who suffer from mental health conditions. There are a lot of people in Parramatta who have obvious needs, but what the Bible tells us is that irrespective of these numbers, 100% of all people need a shepherd like Jesus. And that without Jesus as their shepherd, they are helpless and harassed. And without Jesus as their shepherd, they're in terrible danger. And you might be saying, Gary, why is that the case? Why is not having Jesus as your shepherd such a problem? Well, in fact, Jesus points us to why in another gospel, in John's gospel in chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus talks about why he has come. And Jesus says, I have come to offer people life and life to the full. With God as their father, their sins forgiven, them as his children and heaven as their home. Jesus has come to offer this type of life because we currently don't have it. We currently don't have the life that God has created us for. And why is that the case? It's because each and every one of us, in our own way, have lived like a sheep without a shepherd and done our own thing and sinned against God, saying yes to ourselves and no to God, putting what we want and we think before what God wants and God thinks. And why is that a problem? Well, there are at least two things that lead out of this, which are a problem for us. Firstly, our sin, our rejection of God's right to rule over us, ruins our relationships with each other. And why is that the case? It's because if I put myself before God and you put yourself before God and then we meet and we disagree, what's going to happen? It's going to be a problem, isn't it?
I mean, you just have to spend some time with some preschoolers to know how this works, right? Two preschoolers, they want the same thing. Before you know it, it's World War III, okay? And let me tell you, becoming an adult doesn't make us any better. We just get more sophisticated in the way we express our sinful self-centeredness. And this is why we see so much heartache and pain around us. This heartache, this pain, this mess, this injustice, it all flows out of us not having a shepherd. Not having a shepherd. We need a shepherd to live the best life we can. But secondly, not only does our sin ruin our relationship with each other, our sin also ruins our relationship with God. And the Bible tells us that rather than being alive and living the life we were created for, sin separates us from God and makes us dead before Him. We are on the wrong side of God and the wrong side of His judgment. And there is nothing we can do about it. That comes with being dead. We can't be good enough for God. We can't be moral enough for God. We can't be religious enough for God. There is nothing that we as dead people can bring ourselves... We can't bring ourselves back to life. But Jesus can do something, and Jesus does. And this is what He says in the very next verse in John's Gospel. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. And that's what Jesus does. Out of His heartfelt compassion, Jesus lays down His life for His sheep. Going to the cross to face their greatest danger and dying on the cross to take the punishment His people deserve on Himself in their place. Bringing forgiveness, securing hope, a fresh start, a new future, restoring their relationship with God, as well as transforming their relationships with others, offering all who would trust in Him the life they were created for. Life with God. Life to the full. And again, why does He do that? We saw that in Matthew. It's because when He looks on the crowds, He views them with compassion. And the question for us who are members of St. John's is, do we see those around us in the same way as Jesus? Do we view those around us as those deserving compassion? Because when it comes to following Jesus, it's not actually an optional extra. And you'll see that if you come back with me to Matthew chapter 9. Because having just said, having just looked at what we looked at in those previous two verses, Matthew now goes on to show us that Jesus calls us to follow in His footsteps. And you see that if you come with me to verse 37. Switching from sheep and shepherds, Jesus now talks about farming and harvest. And He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Having been moved with compassion for the crowd around Him, Jesus now tells those who follow Him to open their eyes to see the needs of those around them. The harvest is plentiful. There is so much need. And He calls them to do something about it as those who will follow Him. And while there are many, many things that we here at St. John's could be doing to keep on meeting the needs of the people of Parramatta, like building community, building connection, helping new people settle, providing friendship and help, engaging in research to identify a need, providing safe and beautiful spaces for people to gather and find solace, there are many, many things that we can be doing to keep on blessing the people of Parramatta. Beyond anything else, though, among all these options, what does the Lord Jesus call on His people to do? He calls on them to pray. He calls on them to pray. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So what do we do? Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And there are three things in particular I want you to notice from this call of Jesus. Firstly, why do we need to pray? It's because of mathematics. Okay, harvest is plentiful, workers are few. It's because of the great needs of the people around us. and the fact that we need to be praying that more people will be raised up to meet those needs. Secondly, please notice who we are praying to. We are praying to God, who is the Lord of the harvest. And not only is he the Lord of the harvest field is his, which means that we are actually praying to someone who is not neutral, who is biased, who actually wants to answer our prayers. And thirdly, please notice how this prayer will be answered, which is actually a little bit surprising, and you'll see that in the very next verse, in chapter 10, verse 1. Because having called on his disciples to pray for more workers, Jesus, in the very next verse, then sends out those people to be the workers. Notice that? He calls on his disciples to pray to God to raise up more workers, then he sends them out to be those workers. This is a dangerous prayer. This is a very dangerous prayer that Jesus is calling us to pray, because the answer to that prayer just might be you. And while he's not calling each and every one of us to be missionaries and ministers, he is calling each and every one of us to be like him. To be like him in the way that he sees those around him, with eyes and hearts that are filled with compassion. To see those around us as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, as people who need Jesus and his love as much as we do. And this is why I am confident that St. John's will continue to be a blessing to the people of Parramatta and all who will come here. Because as long as St. John's exists at the heart of Parramatta, St. John's will always have a heart for Parramatta. Because St. John's exists because of Jesus, who was moved by compassion for those around him. And as much as Parramatta has a special place in my life and my heart, it's got an even more special place in the heart of Jesus, who, as the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for his sheep so he could offer them life and life to the full. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has come to offer us life and life to the full, and we thank you for his willingness, out of his heartfelt compassion, to give up his life to make that possible. We do pray, Father, that as the people of St. John's, that you would help us to share in Jesus' compassion, and that you would devote us to prayer and service for the people around us, so that they too may know their shepherd and the life that he offers. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.